to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
But it really is fantastic to have you all here. And we've got a special guest with us this evening. She, together with her husband, have spent many years in the ministry. And they, in many ministries, they're involved in various areas, one of which is they're committed to populating the nations and fulfilling the first commandment which God gave to mankind, which was be fruitful and multiply. And they're an example to all of us to aspire up to and look towards. They've got five of their own kids, and I'm told they're finished now. But five wonderful little kids, and just a husband and a wife and a couple to really look up to. We can really learn and glean a lot from, just from their relationship, people who love Jesus. Those who don't know them, they're busy pastoring our church in Stanathorn, and they've been there for just over a year now. 2 years already. Wow, time flies. So they've been there for 2 years, and it's going really well, like every ministry. There's some challenges, but there are also lives being touched and changed as they grow in relationship with Jesus. So before I say too much, let's just give her a big warm hand as Christelle Mayberg comes to share with us.
Hello. So I get to have three men in my life, Philip. It's not just you have three women. Congratulations to Philip. I'm sure you all know that he became a father this week, again for the second time. So we are really rejoicing with them. And then, it's just great to be here. I haven't been here for a while, and it is just amazing. It's just family, you know, whether it's here or Joburg or Stanathan, it's just one amazing family. So it's great to be here. Who of you are going to the Convergence Conference? Okay. So that's going to be even a bigger family gathering. Let's quickly pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed, God, everything that we need. Thank you, God, that you are so beautiful, God. And thank you, God, that when we see you, Father, we become like you. So we just become as beautiful as you are, Father. God, and for that we thank you, God. Father, and we pray this evening that your word will go out and that it will really cut between bone and marrow. And that our hearts will be open to receive what you want to reveal to us this evening. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so you had the relationship week now this past week. And I heard that it went very well. And this is apparently the end of the relationship week. So it's a privilege to be able to end it. I hope it will end on a high note. So I asked Philip, what should I speak on? And he said that if we could speak about emotional boundaries, that's not one that we cover that often. So when he said that to me, I was thinking, yeah, that's great. You know, that's easy. 20 minutes to prepare for that. And then I've got something to say about that. And then when I started my preparation, I realized, like I always do, it will take a weekend to speak about this. So the challenge always is what to say and what not to say. That really, for most preachers, that is the challenge, what not to say. Anton always tells me you can't say everything in 1 hour. You cannot. So you have to pick what you are going to say. So the title of the sermon is, "This is where I draw the line." Do you like that? This is where I draw the line. And I'm really trying again this evening to say what I believe is the bottom line. Because there's only 1 hour. There's not a weekend. So we can't go into everything, even though I would love to. We have to cover the basics that will help us to understand. So before I start, I just want to know, how many of us here are married? Can I see? Okay, less than half of us. How many are in relationships? Okay, that's a lot. Okay. So, I'm not going to speak about boundaries in general. I'm really going to focus this evening on boundaries in a love relationship, in a romantic relationship. And just for the record, I love the fact that some people are single, and I believe that is from God. That is, it's just the topic for this evening. I generally don't want to exclude anybody. And as I always say, if you are not in a relationship, if you are not planning to be in a relationship, then I would also encourage you to just open your heart, because God wants to use us as His church to be the light out there. And you don't have to be in a relationship or planning to be married to be able to help people. Did you know that? You don't actually have to, because we've got the spirit of revelation and wisdom in us. And we can help people even though we are not in a similar situation. So I would encourage you to really just open your hearts this evening. Now, I want to start by showing you what happens to a married couple if they if they don't have boundaries in their relationship. It says there, you've changed since we got married. So in her perception, her husband became a cockroach. Don't you think that's hilarious? I picked this picture. I was sitting in front of my computer thinking, few people will find this funny. But to me, it is hilarious. So I will just put it up there. Because she, in her perception, he changed into a cockroach. So obviously something went wrong there. And I want to speak this evening on not coming to a place in our relationships where we perceive each other in such a negative way. Because I'm sure when she married him, he looked like a normal guy. And now he's a cockroach or whatever that thing is. Whatever it is, and that we can really, and we must always understand the purpose, because if we understand the purpose, you know, I'm not everybody is the same, but as for me, I always want to know why something is important and whether it is an end in itself or not. And then I want to say this evening, having a good relationship, which should lead to marriage, otherwise I guess there's not much of a point in it if it's a love romantic relationship, and that is not an end in itself. What we need is for people to look at us and see, wow, whatever they have, it is working for them. Because the word says we must be the light and we must be the salt. So people must look at our relationships and they must want what we have. Our relationships in itself should be the testimony out there. Because if it stops with us having a good time with each other and enjoying each other and it stops there, then it's not going to be as great as it could be if it could be to the extension of God's kingdom. Because one day we will go to heaven and everything will be about how many people are we taking with us? And then I want us to understand this evening that through our relationships, people must be drawn to us because they must see God in it. If we can all just have an understanding of that. So I want to start by speaking about one flesh. Now, why I want to start by speaking about one flesh, and those here who are married will probably have quite a better understanding of what I am sharing this evening. And if you are not married yet, then listen, open your ears, because really one of the golden lessons in life is learn from those who made the mistakes. Can you agree with me? You don't have to make the same mistakes. That is the great thing about people a little bit older teaching people a little bit younger who did something for a little bit longer what to do and what not to do. And that really helps us a great deal, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. And when we speak about emotional boundaries, it is fairly easy when we speak about the workplace or friendships or even family your mother and your father and your siblings. But when it comes to a romantic relationship, and especially a marriage, then romantic boundaries, I mean emotional boundaries, becomes quite complicated. Has anybody noticed that who are married? Because now we become one flesh. So what does it mean to be one flesh? What does that mean? And how do two people do this one flesh thing? And I'm not speaking about only the sexual relationship now, because I know some of you are only now thinking in that direction, and we know how to do that when we are married. I'm not just speaking about that. I'm speaking about how do we become one flesh but still maintain healthy boundaries, because there is no question about that. We still need boundaries in our relationships. And I want my prayer for this evening is that where there is confusion, we will be able to clear that in some way and to understand how we are supposed to operate in a healthy way in our relationships with each other. Now, when we speak about one flesh, and did you, was there, were the hands there, the hands that were holding? Okay, if we can just go back to that. If you look at that, those two hands are really intertwined, and one gets the idea that those people, even though you only see the hands, are really in unity, probably very much in love, and just together like that. And I want to speak about that quickly, and if we can look at the very well-known scripture, we can move on to that. Genesis 2, verse 23 and 24. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And then later in the Gospels we see Jesus is repeating this very same thing. And when we start to speak about one flesh, it is amazing to, from our very beginning of the understanding of this, understand that Eve was literally taken out of Adam. Eve was made out of Adam's flesh. She was literally, and when he saw her, and you know, that is debatable what he was thinking and how he saw her, but I think when he saw her, and remember, they were naked. I think he was just blown away by her beauty and what it did to him. And the fact that she was his and that they could be together. I think that must have been an amazing moment in history for the first two people ever just to behold each other. So when we speak about one flesh, what exactly do we mean? Now, I really gave this some prayer and some thinking, and as I said, my thinking that it will take 20 minutes to prepare for something like this was really challenged, because I realized there's actually a lot of questions around this one flesh thing. And I think firstly we could safely say that becoming one flesh would most probably really refer to the fact that when we are married, we do have sexual intimacy and we do become one. And there's a lot to say about that. And it really is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us in marriage and just in life, that we are allowed to experience that. But we're not going to spend too much time on that, just a little bit time on that this evening. But that is definitely one of the ways that God has called us to be one flesh. And when a husband and a wife come together in that way, it represents a whole lot more than just physical intimacy. There is a much more to that, but unfortunately we cannot really go into that. But then there's an amazing scripture that I want to read to you that I discovered now that I never really saw before in Malachi 2 verse 15. And it says, Did God not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. So it says here, which is really an amazing scripture. I don't know if any of you really knew this scripture. But it says here that when God put a man and a wife together in marriage, He gave to them a portion of His Spirit, of Himself. He put Himself in there. And if you think about it, if a baby's born, like little Anae was born this week, Philip's little baby, you know, the physical appearance comes from the mother and the father combined, and the personality and everything. But where does the spirit of that child comes from? It comes from God. And that is what makes it so amazing. So God says, when the man and the woman came together, I give, there's a portion of me in that unity. So when we become one flesh, we can safely say that that refers to the fact that spiritually we also become one flesh, because God takes the wife and the husband and He puts them together in a covenant relationship which cannot be broken. And then He says, I put Myself in there. And the two of you come together, and I put a portion of My Spirit there. And when you have children, that is an extension of that. So we can become, in that way, we are becoming one spiritually as well. But I'm going to speak about that some more a little bit later. And then we become one flesh in purpose, in our purpose in this life. Now, we all know when we have our wedding that we make our vows. Now, when we do our wedding vows, as those of us who have been married for a little bit longer than maybe a month or a year will know, that we don't really know what we are saying. We say it very starry-eyed, and everybody looks beautiful, and the food is lovely, and the hall is lovely, and everything is beautiful. And, you know, all married couples go, ha, ha, ha. You don't know what you are saying, but the glory of marriage is, the longer you are married, the more precious those vows become, because the more real it becomes, because the more you understand what you were saying, and the commitment that you made was huge, humongous, but it is such a blessing if you stick to it. And when we stand before the pulpit, we say, and a lot of us, it's different for different, we don't all use the same formula, but I know in Shofar, most of the couples say the scripture that comes from Ruth. And it says, and this was actually Ruth saying this to her mother-in-law, but this is what we use at our wedding ceremonies. And it says, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge or where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be My people, and your God, My God. So when we become married, we become one in purpose. And we say, we will go together, or we will stay together. If this is your God, it will be My God as well. If this is your family, it will be My family as well. Whether I like them or not, they will be My family as well. I will love them and I will take them in as family. So this is another place where we become like one. And I believe there's a lot more that we can say about this. I just want to touch on the basics this evening. But when we consider the fact that God said you become one flesh, we understand that this relationship that I am engaging in is priority above every other human relationship. That is why if a husband is uncomfortable with a relationship that a wife has with another man, unless it is really unnecessarily, which exists, but in reasonable terms, or if a wife is uncomfortable with a relationship that her husband has, then we should give that up. We should be willing to give this. This is the ultimate relationship that we have. This is my one flesh partner, my one flesh person. until the day that I die, this is my one flesh person. I will go with you. I will stay with you. I will share my bed with you. I will share my table with you. And we are indeed one. And from our union comes children. And that is such a great blessing. And that even makes us more one. Because we both made this little perfect little baby. Comes from both of us. And that is so precious. I'm just sidetracking a little bit here. My sister-in-law gave birth to a beautiful, perfect baby 2 weeks ago, and her husband actually had the guts to stand with the video camera while she got this baby for the very first time. And I'm so grateful because, you know, it's so intimate, one never sees that. But to just see it captured, a mother who holds her first baby for the very first time, the baby was just born, and the emotion, it is overwhelming. And she looks at him and she looks at this baby and tears streaming down her face. And she keeps on saying, oh, oh, oh. And there are no words because the two of us, we made this perfect little baby. And this is our baby that we made together from our union. That is so precious. But now, we are speaking about boundaries this evening. So, I googled boundaries just to see what the world out there says about it, and boundaries in marriage, and this was where I had to stop and think twice, because what I read there, and even biblical commentaries on boundaries, was a lot about the fact that when we become one flesh, then we really become one, and there was a lot of talking on Google on the fact that we must become one emotionally. And that threw me a bit. You know, because I can understand that all the ways that we can come together as one in every other way that I've explained to you now. But that made me think and wonder a little bit, where do we draw the lines? And this is what is confusing in a love romantic relationship. We understand now that we are one. So, where do we draw the lines? Because what we cannot deny, that marriage can be quite a bit of a challenge. And living together as one flesh and having you as my one flesh person for the rest of my life can be quite a bit of a challenge. Anybody that has experienced that? Anybody? Okay. So this is all beautiful and wonderful, but still, somewhere we need to find the balance. And this is what I want to speak about this evening. And this is what we are trusting God for, to make very clear to us, is where do we draw those lines? And I want to share a principle with you that I have discovered in the Word of God. Now, you know, when we are married, we just recently, from time to time, we see couples that are, especially couples that are newlyweds, and I especially love that kind of getting together and just speaking about their struggles and trying to help them, because we've been there and we've done that. We know what it feels like. We know what you are going through. And we had a couple coming to see us just recently. And they were sitting there and discussing the things that they are struggling with. And then one of the things that they said, and that was quite interesting to me, because I never realized that this is something that people actually struggle with, is one of the things that they said is that when they got married, they really wanted to become one, like the Word says. And that was really the desire of their hearts, to be that perfect union that God has created them to be. So they decided that they would seek God together as a couple, understanding now that they are one flesh. So the man said, but it is so difficult for me. He says, because I come home and I had a hard day of work behind me and I'm tired and I'm irritated and all I want to do is just be with God, but now my wife is here next to me. He says, so now I'm praying and I go, oh God, thank you for this beautiful day and thank you for my work and thank you that I can earn an income. But what I really want to say is, God, this was such a hard day and I am so irritated with these people working for me, and you know, he's got so much that he wants to share with God, but and he wants to be sort of aggressive and, you know, share his heart with God and just come out with that deep, those deepest emotions. But now his wife is sitting here and he doesn't want to upset her. He wants her to think that he had a great day and that everything is going well because she's quite sensitive. She's pregnant and she's going to, you know, cry. And then we say to them, no, just stop right there. This is not going to work. You need to understand the boundaries in marriage when it comes to your relationship with God. So I want to read you a scripture. And this is Jesus teaching the disciples about prayer. And it's in Matthew 6, verse 6. And he says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So what Jesus is referring to here is the fact that there are two things here. The one thing that is quite obvious is the fact that we should not pray for people to see us and be impressed with us. That is not the reason that we pray. But the other principle that we can take from here is the fact that Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. Now, I know when we are in a relationship and heading towards marriage and in a marriage relationship, then hopefully we have the same room and the same door. Don't get confused here. I'm speaking about the principle here. The principle that when you pray, you go to some place where you are alone and you shut the door and it is just you and God. And when we speak about emotional boundaries in marriage, and there's a lot that we can say about that, this is basically the bottom line. The bottom line is that when the Word of God says, seek God, seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. And the first and the foremost principle for healthy boundaries, and we're going to speak a lot about that just now, different kinds of boundaries, is the fact that we must understand in our relationships, and this must start long before marriage. And I really want to speak to you. If you are in a relationship, please listen up. There is no way that you can try and find what you need in this life from that person that you are in love with. I remember when Anton and I, we had such a crazy coming together. I don't want anybody to come together the way we did, because we really could not make up our minds and we couldn't decide what God said and what God did not say. Eventually we really heard God, but it took us a while. But after we started really courting each other and being in a serious relationship and things were really going well and we were very much in love and very convinced that we are for each other and meant for each other and that we should get married and all those things. Then one morning, and we were really so much in love and so happy, and then one morning he came to me out of the blue, unexpectedly, and he said to me, can we talk? You know when the other person says, can we talk? I just hate that. I still hate it when somebody says to me, can we talk? I always fear what they want to talk about. So I said, yes, we can talk. So we went for a walk, and Anton basically said to me that last night when he had his quiet time, God spoke to him and God said to him that I'm Christelle, I am an idol in his life and this is not going to work anymore. So unfortunately now we have to end this relationship because if God is not first, then it's not going to work in any way. And his heart is after God first, and then secondly after me. I'm not God. And until this is fixed, or maybe it never gets fixed, we should now leave it now. We should walk away from each other, and this is the end of it now. Considering our past, that was quite devastating to me. So I was, doing the whole drama thing and throwing my arms and crying and doing the whole, this is so terrible and why are you so terrible? I was only 23, so I'm just joking. I know some of you are. So I was really not as mature as I am now. But when I eventually got over all my drama and feeling sorry for myself, I had to just run to God, and I was quite devastated. And that day, God really spoke to me, and I'm so grateful for this. Because God said to me, you should respect this man. Because you want a godly man. And a godly man will never put you first. Because a man who puts you first, who recognizes that you are his idol, and he would rather worship you than me, is not the man that you want. It's not the man that you asked me for. You asked me for a godly man. And God said to me, I will give you a godly man. And if you want this man, you better pray for him, that you will not be an idol to him. If you want this man, you better pray for him. But this is not what I'm going to give to you. And then God showed me that I actually had the same problem. Anton became more important to me than what God was. And I was so much in love and so in awe of what God is. You know, there comes a stage in early Christianhood where we are so obsessed with our own calling and our own purpose. And we forget actually at some stage that it's all about God. And then he's got to bring us back to remember that it's not about us. And he can use anybody, and he can use a donkey, and he can use a stone. So we are humbled again. But I understood that day that Anton can never become God to me, and I can never become God to him. And as we got married, we went into the marriage already understanding this, and already we have dealt with this already to an extent. And I'm so grateful for that. And now 12 years, who here has been married for longer than 10 years? Nobody. Okay, great. Elmarie's mom. You know Elmarie and Carlos? You know them. The pastors at the Worcester Shofar Church. Oh, that's his mom. And Elmarie's little sister there. Now I completely forgot what I was saying. Oh, yes. You know, after we've been married for 12 years now, and then after 12 years, I can really say that I know now for sure that there is no way that we can look towards our spouse for anything that we really need in this life. It just does not work that way. We must enter into that relationship that is heading towards marriage, and we must enter into the marriage understanding that if I am not a whole, contented, full person in my relationship with God, then maybe I'm not ready for this. Because I cannot enter into this looking to someone else to satisfy me. You know, what we need is healing, deliverance, wisdom, strength, unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. This is what we all want. This is our deepest desire. This is what we really, really need. And none of these things we can get from our spouse. Did you know that? Your husband or your wife can give you conditional love. And if they are really godly, they can touch on the unconditional. But there's always, we are human. We are not Jesus yet. We are not there yet. And there will be times, guaranteed, where it will be the way that he or she loves you might be a little bit selfish or a little bit unconditional. That spouse cannot heal you. That spouse cannot deliver you. That spouse cannot give you the wisdom and the strength. And that spouse cannot give you the deep, intense joy that will be your strength. He or she can give you happiness. You can have a great time together, but the moment that you look towards that person for these things, you put an unfair expectation on them. And remember, we are speaking about boundaries. And this is where many of us are crossing the boundary. And this is very often where it falls flat. Because you put an unfair expectation on that person. That person is just human. And I can assure you, all of us are just human. There is not one spouse under the sun, not even Reinhard Bonke or John Bevere or Joyce Meyer, that the husband or their wife can look to them for anything that they really need in this life. And if we can enter into the marriage already understanding that, then there already is a safe boundary. Because the moment when we cross this boundary of you have to heal me, you must make me feel better, you must make me be successful, you must make this happen for me, you must make me feel in a specific way, you must understand me, wives. How many of you find that your husbands understand you all the time, always, every single time that you need to be understood? None of us. They are not made that way. And God created us with that thing in our hearts that what we need, we can actually only get from Him. We cannot get it. And if we get this thing right, and this is where I am speaking about the fact that when you pray, you close the door. It speaks about the fact that there is a place where it is only you and God. Can I say that again? Only you and God. And in that place, listen carefully, in that place, there is no space for your spouse. None. It is you and God. Do you know that song? It's an old song. I doubt that anybody here will know it. Maybe. My mom used to play it when I was a little girl. And the song says, I come to the garden alone. You know that song? I come to, Auntie, I come to the, because she's, Auntie's also a little bit older than some of us here. I come to the garden alone when the dew is still on the roses. And He walks with me. I come alone, it says. He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share while we're walking there, none other can ever know. That's the words of the song. And it speaks about the fact that I come to God in intimacy and it is only me and Him. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And the person who was writing, who was singing that song and writing the words of that song said, nobody can understand the joy that I experience when it is just me and God. And the reason why he or she says that is because that is what it feels like when we really experience God. And may I ask, who of you have experienced that in your life? Just be honest. Okay, some of us. Where, you know, during the worship this evening, sometimes worship is always amazing, but sometimes it is just out of this world for me personally. And this evening, what is your name? Are you single? I was just thinking, who is the lady? You can sing to your wife, right? She will love that. she will be privileged to have you. You know, the worship this evening was just to me such an experience with God. Just such an experience with God. Where we come and we must never make the mistake to think that, and I say this because people, we do. We do. The moment when we get married, we are like, oh, finally. You know, most of us who are Christian, born-again people who do not have sex outside of marriage, who wait and who keep ourselves pure, and who wait, and finally when we get married, we go, finally, this is so great. This is all that I need. That's what we think. lying here in my husband's arms and being able and allowed to have sex together and enjoy each other, this is all that I need. And then after a year, it's not all that you need anymore. Maybe after a couple of months, then even the sexual intimacy sometimes is not so great and not so exciting. And you think about other things and, you know, it becomes like a little bit dull. And that is when we realize, okay, so now this person was actually not what I was thinking. He or she actually, there's quite a bit of flaws in this character. And I can promise you every flaw that you see, he or she sees back in you as well. Somebody once said, it was so funny, we were married for about 3 years and in a difficult stage of our marriage. And I was thinking, why did I marry Anton again? Can I just remember why I married him? And he was thinking exactly the same thing he told me later on. And this lady was speaking and she said, have you noticed that your husband is not the ridder op die wit perd. What is that in English? He's not the knight on the knight in shining armor anymore. And we were all saying, oh yes. We all know. We were like, oh yes. And she said, well, you are not the little cutie pretty princess anymore. And we were like, oh, probably. We never thought about that one. But when we can understand that we enter into this relationship and we enter into marriage looking towards God as our first love, and I've seen this so many times. I was preaching in Somerset West recently, and the young man who was leading the worship was so beautifully honest. He was crying and he said something, he's a newlywed, and he was crying and he said something was wrong, I couldn't find God. And then I realized it is because of my wife. All I see is my wife, all I want is my wife, and I am not satisfied. And I have a great wife and we have a great relationship, and being married is out of this world, but I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied. And in the world, when that happens, you just get divorced and you try another person, and then it doesn't work and you get divorced and you try another person, and then in Hollywood, it seems like they never realize that it's not going to work in any way. But when we enter into that relationship, understanding that I come to the garden alone and he walks with me and he talks with me, and if we can remain in that place, it will be the best thing for your relationship ever. And then, knowing where to draw the lines and where the boundaries are and where I am still me and you are still you becomes clearer and easier. It still is not easy. And a lot of the things that I will be sharing with you today are things that I really am working at myself and not getting right a lot of the times, but I am growing in this and trusting God to become almost perfect in all of this. But if we only remember one thing about those boundaries, it will be the fact that God is our source, God is our deliverer, God is our healer, God is our joy, God is our beginning, God is our end. My spouse is just my partner, as imperfect as I am. And the older you get physically, the more imperfect you become. Everything that was up goes down. Everything is changing. This is just my one flesh partner. And the Word of God says, love covers a multitude of sin. And here is another boundary. This is something that we must understand. And as I keep on saying, there is a lot to say about this. But the fact that the clearest and the most obvious and the most significant boundary is this. Me and my relationship with God is separate from you and your relationship with God. And if I die today, you will not die tomorrow, because you have God. And if I fail today, and if I am depressed today, and if I am angry today, you will not fail, and you will not be depressed, and you will not be angry, because God is your source. I am not your source. Does it make sense now? You know, in marriage, if your spouse is depressed or angry or frustrated, it is very hard. Have you experienced it? It is very hard. But then we need to understand, and if there's only one boundary ever that we remember in marriage, then this would be it. Me and my relationship with God and you, and I call this, and I'm going to go into this now, but I call it the each one principle. So if you go to Eastward on your internet and you type in at Bible search each one, go and see the many things in the Word of God that each one must do for him or herself. Each one, not the married couples, the couples, each one. Now, obviously, when you are there with your relationship with God and I am here with my relationship with God, we come together. Like I said in the beginning, we are one in purpose. We have a common purpose. So we come together and you are strong because your source is God, and I am strong because my source is God. But when you are weak, I can be strong because you are not my source. If your source is weak, you are weak. Do you agree with me? If your source is strong, you are strong. God is always strong. Your one flesh partner is weak half the time. Did you know that? But now I can help you because I'm... And this is where the common purpose comes in. This is actually where the unity and the beauty of it comes in. Because now we come and we pray together and we find God together in prayer in one common purpose. But my deepest emotions, my things that I cannot tell anybody, my deepest thoughts, I give that to God. I do not give that to my spouse. If we were to give it to our spouses, we would have a lot of divorces, even in the church. Because we would say things like, I do not understand how I could ever be as crazy as to marry you. You are nothing that I wanted. You are nothing that I needed. I do not want to be married to you anymore. Most marriages go through this, where this is what we feel, and this is what, we do not give that to our spouse. We don't. We take it to God. And when our spouse is weak, guess what we do? And here's another boundary. We take it to God. We cannot strengthen each other. Can I say that again? We cannot strengthen each other. We can motivate each other. You know, you can come to a motivational talk, and that person can motivate you that you sit there and you think, man, I'm going to get rich, and I'm going to change the world, and I'm never going to be depressed again. And you can walk out of there, and your car is stolen, and right then and there, it's all over. You are as more depressed than you were ever before. But if God, that is why, and this is such a vital principle, we do not go to our spouse and criticize and why are you weak and bloody, bloody, blah. We, love covers a multitude of sin. We come to God and we pray for each other. And we say, God, he is weak. God, he is failing. God, this thing that he's doing is crazy. God, what was he thinking when he attempted this in the first place? God, I could have told him, lots of women say this, believe me. I told him a million times it won't work, and now we are bankrupt. We don't give that to our spouses because love covers a multitude of sin. We pray. We pray. We share those deep emotions with God, and we love each other. In theory, it sounds wonderful. It is hard, but it is possible because God is with us. And being married for 12 years, I can assure you, it is hard. Yes, it is a process, but it is possible because God's grace is indeed enough. So we have that clear boundary, you and God and me and God. And this is the way that we attempt this marriage. And this will change everything for us. I want to read you another scripture. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 7. This is Paul speaking, and he says, I wish that all were as I myself am. You know, if one didn't know Paul quite well, you could think that he was quite arrogant, eh? Imagine I would stand here and say, I wish you were all like me. Well, but the thing is, you know, Paul said these things while he was in prison, being tortured for his faith. So he could say that, I guess. Paul said, imitate me, and he could say that, but we should be careful, I guess, before we say that with confidence. But then Paul says, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another kind. We are speaking about boundaries. Here is another boundary in our love relationship. We do not have the same gifts. Can I ask the married couples here, who of you have quite different gifts from your spouse? Most of us. So when we come together, and I'm speaking these things from experience. A lot of what I'm sharing is actually just from experience. So we are very much in love, very excited to get married. And before marriage, it is fairly easy to celebrate each other and celebrate how beautiful you are and how talented you are and how amazing you are. And I want to marry you. But, you know, what we don't realize before marriage is we make each other feel so good because we are so in love. And the reason I want to be with you all the time is because you make me feel so good. But the thing that happens after marriage, mostly, is there comes a point when you stop making each other feeling so good all the time because it's just not there anymore. And then we need to understand that even though God is calling us as one, and even though we are one flesh, and you are my one flesh partner, we are still two individuals. Remember, each one. So the word does not say each couple have their own gifting. It says each one. So you are married or heading towards marriage, but you are two very different people with two very different giftings. And we need to understand this boundary where you are in one way and I am in another way, and we need to celebrate that. And I'm saying this, and before marriage, and I know some of you are sitting here and you are not married yet and you think, how difficult can it be? I remember when we did marriage prep, Anton and I were sitting there and he was speaking about conflicts in marriage and problems with in-laws and problems around finances and all these things, and we were like, we're not going to have those problems, really. I mean, we love each other, we understand each other. And then, you know, 10 years down the line, you watch those Bruce Wilkinson, what's it called, marriage, whatever, you watch it again and you are like, okay, yes, tick, 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 tick. So I'm saying this, I know what I'm speaking about, okay. You have different giftings and I have different giftings, and you have a kind of personality and I have a kind of personality, and it might be very different. And initially, it is wonderful to celebrate that, but then there comes a point when the marriage is a little bit more of a challenge. And then we need to understand that God put us together for a purpose. And your gifting and my gifting, as different as it may be, is very useful when it is put together. Very powerful. But for us to be able to come to that place as a couple where we can fulfill our destiny, we must understand this, that I will celebrate who you are and you will celebrate who I am, and I am not going to try and change you. Now, most of us who are married will understand that there comes a time when we desperately try to change each other. And then there comes a time when we finally realize this is not possible. Only God can change people. So, for instance, some of you might know my husband, Anton. Anton is not extremely talkative. He's fairly quiet. He's not shy, not at all. Not at all. Some of you might have experienced that. But he's not extremely talkative. So I will tell him something with all my mannerisms and things. Now, we'll tell him this big story with big eyes. And I tell this whole story. And then he's like, oh, And then I go, is that your full response? Is that like your everything that you have to say about what I just, is that what you're giving me? Is that all that you're giving me? And he's like, oh. You know, and I'm so angry and frustrated and, you know, why can't he just talk to me? And there was a time when I would cry before God and I would say, oh, I made a mistake and married a man who's not talking to me. And, you know, and I would go to the depths of pain levels that I sort of manufactured in my head. I think, no, when I, and then there came a day when I realized something. A week or a month or a year down the line, he can tell me exactly what I told him. He listened. He really actually listened. He knows exactly what I told him. And he had a lot of emotion. He just didn't show it. And then when he preaches sometimes, he retells my story with so much drama. And, you know, and I'm thinking, that's my story. And, you know, and then then I have to move on in my head and understand. But he listened. He took it in and he understood it and he loved it. He loved my story. He loved it so much, he pretends as if it's his story. That's how much he loved it. And I have to celebrate the way that God made him. And he has to celebrate the way that God made me, which is probably quite a challenge to live with sometimes, I think. But you know, this is the power of our relationship. And this is a boundary. So when we cross this boundary, and this is the boundary, and I go, I do not accept you the way that God made you. The way that God made you is not good enough for me. You must be talkative. I need you talkative. It is just simply not going to work. We should not cross that boundary. Each one his own gift. Each one his own gift. And we should learn to celebrate that gift. Because when we do, it is beautiful and awesome and amazing. And when the kind of person that Anton is, who does not say much and who thinks a lot and who stares a lot, you know, I have to respect that and celebrate that, because that is my gift. That is the gift that God gave me. And he's got to respect and celebrate the fact that he has a wife who really speaks 24/7, and just respect that and love that, because that is his gift. And not try to change each other and find each other in our common purpose. And I can guarantee you, us, me, all of us, if we come to the place where we can lift up our spouse and say, God, I thank you. And God, the fact that he never picks up his clothes there next to the bed, I thank you for it, God, because he is my gift. You know, the word says, thank God in all things. I got so desperate after about 3 years of marriage with the clothes that's just never in the washing bin, ever. I got so hysterical and, you know, I wanted to really leave Anton because of that. And then I realized, but the word says, thank God in all things. So I stopped, you know, I try everything sometimes. I'm so desperate. So I was like standing next to the bed going, thank you, Jesus, for these clothes. Thank you, God, that the husband that you gave me never throws it in the washing bin. God, I worship you for it. And can I tell you what happened? I changed. I started to do the same. So now it's his clothes. And my clothes, ask Rachel, she lives with us, she's a little bit, she's now there where she's probably thanking God for us and the fact that she's helping me with my admin, but then in between, she's like, in between the computer stuff, she picks up clothes because she wants it to be neat. But you know, we've got to come to that place where we understand, I'm going to celebrate you because love covers a multitude of sin. And this is the boundary that I am not going to cross. I am not going to criticize you. I'm not going to tell you how lame you are and how stupid you are and how much I desire to not be with you anymore. I'm going to celebrate you. And when I am really, really at the end of myself because I can't live with you anymore. I'm just going to run to God because He is my source, and I'm going to ask Him to change my heart. I'm not going to cross that boundary. These are keys. I hope you are taking note of this. You will have perfect marriages. Perfect marriages. If you listen to all of this and if you apply it, then I've got to move fast because, again, I'm going to go over my time. I want to read you another scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, remember, we are speaking about boundaries. Now, this is one sentence in the Word of God that is a recipe for a successful marriage. God says, wives, your husband's greatest need is respect. He says, husbands, your wife's greatest need is love. Those are the boundaries. And this, if we can understand this, and we can have a weekend conference just on this. I did a sermon last year in Joburg called Closer to Your Lover. I think it's probably on the internet. I don't know if it will still be there. But there's a lot that one can say on that scripture, but I just want to touch on it. And I specifically want, because when we speak about marriage, we have to speak about sexual intimacy, because that is just an extremely important aspect of marriage, if not the most important aspect of marriage. And I quickly want to speak about those boundaries. And I want to, those of us who are married will probably recognize what I'm saying, and those who are not married yet, listen up. Listen up. It could really help you a lot. What men need, really, according to the Word of God and according to my experience, is respect. A man's need to be respected for who he is greater than his need to see and experience love all the time, the way that women want it. Obviously, he wants to be loved, but it comes in the form of respect. And a man, and most men, and it's not the same for everybody, I know, and I'm not saying it's the same for everybody, but most men has a great sexual need, and it is not just a physical thing. If we can just get this into our heads, it's not just a physical thing. There's a lot that happens between a man and a woman when they come together in sexual intimacy. And we need to understand that we need to meet that need. But men, I'm speaking to the men now. I just want to share with you the boundary here, okay? The Word says not to deprive each other. So your wife, according to the Word of God, is not allowed to refuse to have sexual intimacy with you. But if you are neglecting to show your wife love, and men, please listen. The Word says, love your wife. And in another piece of scripture, it says, dwell with her with understanding. That means love her in a way that she can hear it and see it and feel it. Ladies, can I have an agreement on that? We want that, okay? If a man says, oh, but why do I have to tell her all the time? She knows that I love her. You know, that's like, duh. Are you stupid? That's not the way we work. We need to understand. And if you do not show that to us, and if you do not dwell with us with understanding, and I can promise you, when the babies come, we need a lot of understanding. Trust me on this one. We need a lot of understanding. We are very vulnerable. We are exhausted. The babies, we need a lot of understanding. If you want your wife to have sexual intimacy with you whenever you have the need, you need to dwell with her with understanding. And there's the boundary. Do not make her feel responsible to make love with you ever so often if you are not willing to show love and communicate love and dwell with her with understanding. Do we all understand that? Because if you do that, you cross a very significant boundary and she will close her heart. Can I say that again? She will most probably have sex with you because she, according to the word, is supposed to do, but her heart will close up and you will have to walk a great many miles to get that heart to open up again. Because it is extremely difficult for a wife to make love to a man who does not show love to her and only wants sex. She feels used. Ladies, in return, a man is very, very vulnerable around his sexual need. We need to understand that and we need to respect that. Do not deprive him, because he will close his heart and you will have to walk many a miles to get his heart to open again. Can we understand that boundary? That is a very significant boundary to understand. Okay, I see Philip moved to the front. Does that mean I have to be a little bit almost finished? Okay. I am. Then quickly. Who of you have children? I know Mezen and Andre are there. And okay. Ephesians 5 verse 25. Philip's got two children. Ephesians 5 verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let's speak about responsibilities. This is really, I just quickly want to touch on this. There's no time to say all these many things that I want to say, but I just sense that there's a need to quickly touch on this, because something that happens very often in our married lives, very often, is that everything is going fairly well until the baby comes. Has anybody experienced that? Anybody? Okay. Until the baby comes. And then when I used to work with Anton in the office, and then the baby came. The first baby, and then, you know, we had a great working relationship until that baby came. And then Anton would come into the office and say, do this. You know, Anton doesn't say please and thank you. I made a peace with that. That's probably the way God wants me to celebrate him. He comes into the office saying, do this and that and the other. And then I would go, do you have any idea how little sleep I had last night? Because you are sleeping while I am breastfeeding the whole night. And he would just look at me like, don't bite my head off. And then I would go, and the least you can do is say please and thank you. And he would like, just leave the office. And I would not do what he asked me to do, because I am now furious. And the whole church was suffering because now the baby came. So we need to understand these. We need to understand when it comes to responsibility, how to approach it. Again, men. Your wife will need help. Okay? She needs help. And the word says, lay down your life for her as Christ did for the church. That means you are not, most probably not going to die for her physically. Hopefully not, but would be great, you know, if the chance ever arises to give your life, but hopefully it will not. Then the way that you are laying down your life, and for some of you this is difficult than more difficult than physically dying, is helping with that baby and helping in the house, helping her. There is a boundary there. Because if you think nothing has changed, she just had a baby and now we can carry on the way we did, it does not work like that. We need to understand that there, if there is a line there, it says help her, be there for her. And in return, wife, don't keep on criticizing the way that he helps. Rejoice in the fact that he's there, because we need to share this. Remember, we are one. We need to share this responsibility now. And that will keep us happy together. But the moment everything changes, when we start with the family, and the moment I say that is your responsibility, that is not my responsibility, or I have a baby now, I'm not going to see to your needs, then we are going to close our hearts to each other. Okay, last one, very important. Remember, we are speaking about each one. Philippians 2 verse 12. Okay, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, when I said to God, and I'm really ending now, almost, I said to God, God, where do we start with boundaries when we are one flesh? How, God, this is actually so difficult to explain to people. And the first scripture that came to mind was, each one must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a boundary here that we must understand. And that is, yes, we are one. Yes, we are one flesh. Yes, we are one in purpose. But listen, one day, when we are going to stand before God, you are not going to stand next to me. Can we go back to that each one picture? Each one must see. Do you see a red spouse next to that little manicky? No. We are responsible for our own choices in life. And this is a great relief to many of us. Because listen up, I know it's been long and I know the people are there, but just keep, can you just stay with me for another 5 minutes? This is extremely important. You are not responsible for the choices that your spouse make. Can we understand that? You are not responsible. The word says, each one must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. When you see that this spouse, and this is where we need to understand. I have my relationship with God, and you have your relationship with God, and I am going to pray for you. But many times, you cannot change his or her mind. You simply can't. Who have experienced that? Sorry I asked so many times, but I need to know what's going on in your head. Okay. You cannot change, especially a wife trying to change her husband's mind. It's basically impossible if God does not do it. And something that we must understand, I am responsible for my choices. In other words, if my husband chooses to read something or watch something on TV, or my wife chooses to spend her time in a way that I feel is ungodly, I will not share in that. Because I am responsible for my salvation with fear and trembling. And when I stand before God, He's not going to hold me responsible for somebody else's sin. So some of us here need to really just let it go. Because we have our spouse's sin upon us and we walk like this. Do you recognize this, some of us? We walk like this, carrying so heavy what is not our burden to carry. And God says, just let it go. Just let it go. Each one must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Last scripture, Revelation 22 verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me. Listen what God says. To repay each one for what he has done. To repay each one for what he has done. You are responsible for what you are doing. And that spouse of yours, and there is a boundary there. You do not take responsibility, but we pray for each other. Can we quickly stand? Sorry, this is my biggest challenge, having to stop now. If you can just have a look at my last picture there. Isn't that beautiful? I believe that, I really believe that God wants to just come and be our first love. And I'm not going to make an altar call because we are running out of time. I'm just going to do a prayer. Did you learn something today? I would really ask you to go home and search your heart. The word says, search me. The psalm says, search me, God, and know me. Show me the deepest parts of my heart. And I want you to go and search your heart and see where your heart is at. Because what God says is, I want the most amazing marriages. I want that picture there. I want that to be real. I want that happiness and that joy and enjoying each other to be real. Celebrating each other so that the world can see.
you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.